He gets completely crazy, starts flipping out like, I need my deposit right now.
So we put it in writing.
These text messages are threatening.
He had me evicted from my apartment saying that I was threatening him.
You are threatening him, sir.
I never told him I was going to hurt him.
They are threatening in nature.
You ain't seen the bad ones yet.
Judge Judy. You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheindlin. The people are real. The cases are real. The rulings are final. This is Judge Judy. Wayne Robinson is suing his former roommate, Willie Walton, for the return of property and his security deposit, hotel costs, and a false restraining order.
Order. All rise.
Yeah, this is case number 146 on the calendar in the matter of Robinson versus Walton.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Parties have been sworn in. You may be seated. Have a seat, sir.
I'm going to try in broad strokes to tell you what I gather from this complaint. You had an apartment and some roommates, and you rented a room to the plaintiff.
Yes.
And after you rented the room to the plaintiff, you were advised by your landlord that your rent was going to go up a couple of $100 because one of your roommates hadn't signed off on the lease. And you told Mr. Robinson, after he had given you a security deposit and after he had moved in, that he was going to have to move out.
I did not tell him he had to move out. I told him what the landlord...
What the landlord said.
What the landlord said.
Well, either you have to move out or... Your rent is going to go up.
Now, can I elaborate on that? What the landlord told me is that we had 2 months to renegotiate the lease because the other two roommates I had were still on the lease. So with that
being... Were they not only still on the lease, but were they living there?
They were already moved out.
I see. Now, how long, by the way, had you been living in this particular apartment?
Myself, I've been there for a good 8-9 months.
So short term.
Yeah.
And you moved in with these other two tenants?
Yeah, I've been with them for 2 years already.
But they moved out on you?
Yeah, they didn't move out. They let me know they were moving out. One was on tour because we're musicians. One went on tour, the other one moved with his mom.
Okay. Now, Mr. Robinson, in what month did you give Mr. Walton the security deposit and move in?
About the 3rd or 4th of December.
And how much money did you give him?
I gave him $325 as payment for the rent plus a $500 for the security deposit, two separate payments.
How much was your rent?
$650 a month. So $325 is what I gave him for the half of the month because I moved in on the 15th of December.
Okay. And when did you move out?
The week between Christmas and New Year's, probably that Tuesday or Wednesday. I mean, I can't remember the exact date, but the Tuesday or Wednesday between New Year's and Christmas.
He moved out January 3rd, where he was forced out, so.
Yeah. Okay, so let's say he moved out January 3rd.
Yeah.
So that means that you lived there for half a month. You paid for the half a month.
Yes.
Why doesn't he get his security deposit back?
He did get his security deposit back.
No, I did not.
Shh,
no.
Shh. Well, because that's what we're here for. So you tell me when he got his security deposit back.
He moved in on the 16th. He was fully moved in on the 16th. The 17th is when I had to talk with the landlord. And that night, I talked to him about it. And this is when he gets completely crazy, starts flipping out like, I need my deposit. I want to move out right now. So the 18th is when I went to the bank and got his deposit out of the bank.
Show me.
Also, I have the text messages he was sending me, telling me to get the deposit out and make sure I have it at the time.
I'd like to see those as well, please. So is what you're telling me, sir, that you put in his deposit and you took it out on the same day?
No, that was something separate. A friend of mine had to give me that money so I can pay him his deposit back.
Because you had spent the money.
I had put it in towards rent.
Okay.
And I got some more text messages to elaborate on that if you need it.
Well, you answered him, I have your money. Once you're moved out and I have the key back, you get your deposit back.
Yep, and then he started sending me more text messages after that. And then that's when I went to his door and gave him his deposit right back. Because he was telling me he was moving out right away. And that's the only reason I gave him the deposit, because he was leaving.
Okay. Mr. Robinson. You're no longer living at Mr. Walton's.
Exactly.
Where did you move to
Well, because the police came and evicted me. I went straight
where
to
where did you move to that night?
That
where
night
did
I
you
went
go?
To a hotel. I went to a motel.
Which motel?
I went to the Cecil. I have a receipt from them. I went to the Cecil Hotel downtown.
I'd like to see the receipt.
Yeah.
You stayed there, sir, until January 11th. You moved in on the 7th.
Yes, ma'am. I went to another hotel first, a small one in Hollywood. It's the only place I could find a vacancy at the time of night. And then I moved out of this place into that place.
A few days later.
Yes, ma'am.
Who do you work for, Mr. Robinson?
I'm in school right now. I'm a makeup artist. I work for myself, basically.
Do you have full-time work or part-time work?
Right now, I'm more of a student than anything else. I'm studying special effects.
So you're not supporting yourself as a makeup artist?
No.
Where do you get your money from?
Well, GI Bill is helping me pay for school.
GI Bill is helping you pay for school, but how do you pay for your rent, food, clothing?
That basically covers it, GI Bill money.
From the GI Bill?
Yes, ma'am.
Where did you serve, Mr. Robinson?
I was in U.S. Navy. I was in there for a total of 6 years.
When did you leave the Navy?
1982.
Tell me what else, other than the security deposit, you think that the defendant owes you.
Well, Your Honor, when he had me evicted from him.
And if somebody sent me text messages, Mr. Robinson, and I don't know if you remember what you wrote to
yes,
him.
Yes, I do. I don't remember exactly what it was.
They are threatening in nature.
You ain't seen the bad ones yet.
I don't have to see the bad ones. These are pretty bad. That's why he got a protective order, because
of... May I ask you a question, Your Honor?
Yes. How come... Asking for a protective order, a temporary protective order. If I were a judge and I looked at these text messages that you sent to him, I would say, I'm going to err on the side of caution and give him a protective order because I don't want there to be any trouble in this house. And I usually don't answer questions, Mr. Robinson, that litigants pose to me, but I think you're entitled to an answer to that. Mm-hmm. Now, this particular judge said, I'm not only going to grant a protective order, but if he said to them, I'm giving him his money back immediately, and I want him out, so he'll have $500, and he'll be able to go to a motel, he'll be able to have a place to live, I would have erred on the side of caution. What else do you think he owes you for?
Well, I feel like the cost of what I had to spend as a result of being put out of the apartment, I think he owes me that, as well as when the police asked me to leave the apartment, he was told not to go into my space. He told me to lock the door. He said, don't enter his room, don't touch his property until we go to court, which is on January 21st. When I went to court, he had gone into the space and taken everything of mine out of the room and said he put it in storage. Well, when I got to the storage space, he had gone through my things, like he was shopping in my property, taking out evidently everything he wanted and kept it. So I called the police immediately and reported it stolen. They said because I couldn't prove I had it before he went into storage that they couldn't do anything, just take him to civil court. That's why I'm here.
What makes you think I want any of your stuff, man?
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
I would have to find that he was really psychotic. There would be no logical reason for him to fool you.
And later today...
Now do you understand that?
No, I don't.
Oh, well, then you are actually thicker and I don't have... I'm 70 years old. I don't have enough time to teach you, sir.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Wayne Robinson says, former roommate Willie Walton owes for the return of his property and security deposit, hotel costs, and a false restraining order.
Now, there was some indication that you had photographs of the storage space.
Yep.
Do you have those photographs? Yep. I'd like to see them.
Shows all his clothes in a pile, shows his food and everything in boxes, furniture, everything's in there. The same day when he went into the storage, he actually had the police come to my house to have me arrested because he said I stole like his TV, stuff like that. The policeman came by, didn't find anything that he claimed that I had. And he said that the storage was like ransacked. It was like tore apart and all that stuff. And I haven't been to that storage unit since I put stuff. Everything was in there neat. And I could have got the storage people to come by.
Mr. Robinson, did you box your property?
No, ma'am. It was all laid out.
I'm just asking you a question. Was any of your property in boxes?
Not one bit of it.
Okay, so you boxed the property. Do you have a receipt for the storage space?
Yep.
I'd like to see it, please. D Did you remove any of the property, Mr. Robinson, from the storage space?
No, ma'am. I didn't even know it was there until the day I went to court for the restraining order. I didn't know
no,
it was
I'm
there.
Asking you now.
No.
As of today, today is months later. Why have you not gone to the storage space?
I've taken everything out from the day.
Well, that's what I'm asking
sorry.
You.
Yes,
have you taken everything
yes, ma'am.
Out of the storage
that day,
space?
I took things out.
Do you have any photographs of the storage space when you went there?
No, ma'am, I do not.
In what month did you go to the storage space?
January.
Also in China, the same
yes,
month?
21st of January.
Well, you went the 21st of January, I assume because you were moving into a new room?
That's the day we went to court for the restraining order.
But he didn't move his stuff out till the end of January.
All I'm asking you is, did you have a new room? You had
yes.
been living in a motel.
No, I had an apartment by then.
What month did you take an apartment?
It'll be February 1st.
Where did you take an apartment?
Downtown L.A.
Are you still there now?
Yes, ma'am.
How much is your rent?
$675 a month.
Who do you live there with?
Myself. No more roommates.
Thank God.
So, practically immediately, you found the new place and you moved your stuff.
Yes, ma'am.
That was the end of January. When was the next time you took action with regard to the defendant?
I filed this lawsuit probably, 2 months ago. 2 months ago?
Well, 2 months ago would be in May.
Yes.
Why?
Well, first of all, I was very angry, very upset, and I couldn't think clear. I just wanted to let everything cool down and calm and think out over how to approach the situation. And I talked to some people who said the best thing to do would be to file the suit as I've done and see what happens.
Anything else you want to tell me, sir?
Well, yes, Your Honor. I just wanted to tell you that I really trusted this man. I wanted to stay in Pasadena, and where I was living, and it was a nice area. I thought it was a respectable situation. I was completely surprised the way things turned out, and I had to survive it because I didn't have any choice. It was the middle of the holidays. I tried to find a new place, apartment. Nobody was taking any inquiries about apartments during that period. It was a very difficult time for me.
Let me tell you what I think, Mr. Robinson. I don't think that the defendant intended to trick you. I'm listening to him, and he doesn't appear to me to be a man who is off. So he rented a room to you because he wanted a new roommate to share the rent.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he was looking for.
So was I.
And you met him before you moved in, so he looked at you and said, you look like a pretty reasonable fellow.
Mm-hmm.
And there was nothing that happened between the time you moved in and the time that he told you that the landlord was giving him a hard time that either one of you told me that would suggest that there was any problem between the two of you.
There wasn't.
Great. So I would have to find that he was really psychotic in saying, well, I'm going to rent this room to this man, and then I'm really going to annoy him by telling him that he has to move out. There would be no logical reason for him to do that, to fool you.
But I asked you before I moved in, Your
Just
Honor.
A second. There would be no logical... Uncross your hands, sir.
Sorry.
There's no logical reason for him to fool you. What happened is he got into a kerfuffle with his landlord, and he said, well, we got a couple of months to figure this out, but this is something that just came on me. I didn't realize that the landlord was going to take that position, that you couldn't come on the lease until those guys went off the lease. So this is the situation. You immediately, based upon what I've seen, said to him, I want my money back. Give me my security deposit back. I lived here 2 weeks. I paid for 2 weeks. I don't believe he told you you had to be out the 1st of January.
No, he didn't.
But you didn't want to live with him anymore. So I have to make certain findings.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And later today.
So you didn't pay him for it?
Not at the time, no.
No, you didn't say at any time. This is your answer.
Okay.
This is what you swore to. You said he gave it to you as a gift. That's what you said. I don't have time to deal with it anymore. Take it. That's what you wrote here.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Wayne Robinson says, former roommate Willie Walton owes for the return of his property and security deposit, hotel costs, and a false restraining order.
Mr. Robinson, I believe that he did give you your $500 back. And I don't believe that anybody who carefully boxes property to put it in a storage unit, doesn't take it and throw it out on the street, pays for the storage unit himself, is going to destroy the property in the storage unit. That doesn't make sense to me. And usually things, if they don't make sense, are not true. I don't think, actually, Mr. Robinson, that you have a case against the defendant. And I'm dismissing it. Thank you. That's all.
Parties are excused. You may step out.
Oh, man, justice, man. Finally, man. Hopefully, it's over with.
I thought a threat constitutes I'm going to do something to you or I'm going to have something done to you, and I did not say that.
He sent me a text message saying, like, he had cousins and his nephews that love his favorite uncle that don't care about going to jail, so don't come home for Christmas.
I never said any of that. Never.
I was frightened.
I told him that I was not going to go to jail over this.
From the text message, I already knew he was crazy.
No more roommates.
Craigslist, do not do anything on there. I don't care if you're trying to buy gum. Do not buy it from Craigslist.
And now, the next case.
All parties in the matter, Banks versus Jaffe. Step forward.
Pawn shop owner Arthur Banks says Donald Jaffe pawned a stolen shotgun at a store. Arthur says the gun was ultimately confiscated by the police.
Mr. Banks, you own a pawn shop. The defendant came into your shop, sold you a stolen shotgun. You gave him $875, and it turns out that, as I said, the gun was stolen. The police came, they confiscated it, and you want your money back.
Absolutely.
That's the case.
Yes, ma'am.
Right?
Yes, ma'am.
How long have you been in business?
About 23 years, Your Honor.
And it's my understanding from your complaint, sir, that you have to send photographs to the police department every day of the transactions that occur because they watch out for stolen property.
Yes, Your Honor.
And that's how this shotgun was discovered.
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. When did Mr. Jaffe come in and sell this shotgun to you?
On February 14th, 2013.
Okay. Now, what's your first name?
Thomas.
Thomas. Well, you're actually useless because he says he got the gun from somebody by the name of Wayne. Right, Mr. Jaffe?
Yes, Thomas Wayne Slay.
Thomas?
Wayne Slay. He's known as Wayne. His first name is Thomas.
Yes, ma'am.
Great. And you got the gun from him?
Yes, that's
correct. As a gift?
No, not as a gift.
Did you pay him for it?
Eventually, yes.
No, no. Did you pay him for it?
Did you pay him?
No. So you did not pay him for it, Mr. Jaffe, because I read your answer very carefully.
Mm-hmm.
And your answer said, my girlfriend posted the gun online. Nobody was interested. A couple of days later, I was outside fixing my car when Wayne pulled up. He gave me the shotgun and told me he didn't have the time or energy to deal with it anymore. He told me to pawn it or sell it and use the money to buy a new car. That's what you said. So you didn't pay him for it?
Not at the time, no.
No, you didn't say it any time. You didn't say it any time, Mr. Jaffe.
Okay.
At any time. This is your answer.
Okay.
This is what you swore to. Okay. You said he gave it to you as a gift. That's what you said. I don't have time to deal with it anymore. Take it. That's what you wrote here.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. Are you the victim of a scam? Go to judgejudy.com. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Now, you took $875 for something that you paid nothing for. You spent it. He's out $875. He gets it back. Do you understand?
No, I don't understand.
Well, I'm going to try to say it to you then very slowly, in slow speed. You paid nothing for the merchandise. This is the merchandise.
Mm-hmm.
You paid nothing for it. He paid you $875. You spent the $875. I don't care whether you spent it. I don't care if you burned it. I don't care if you gave it to your friend. I don't care if you bought a new car with it. I don't care if you blew it in Las Vegas. What you did with it is inconsequential. You were the beneficiary of his $875, and he doesn't have the merchandise anymore, which means he has nothing. And you have his $875. Now, do you understand that?
No, I don't.
Oh, well, then you are actually thicker, and I'm 70 years old. I don't have enough time to teach you, sir. Judgment for the plaintiff in the amount of $875. That's all. Thank you.
Parties are excused. You may step out.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And on the next Judge Judy.
I'm satisfied. I was pretty cut and dry.
My friend was trying to help me out, and it was a big misunderstanding as far as the gun being stolen.
Mr. Jaffe had sold as a product. We had a signed contract.
It wasn't done intentionally. It was all new to me once it came about.
He gave me a product, and it got taken away by the police.
I had nothing against him. I didn't go to the pawn shop intentionally trying to rip anybody off.
There's nothing we can do. Just make report every single thing we take in to the local police.
I'm a victim in this, too. I'm caught in the middle.
All I know is I'm the victim.